Good morning, Mother Earth. Thank you for all your abundant gifts. Good morning, Father Sun. Thank you for feeding all living things on Earth. Thank you, Plant Kingdom. Thank you, trees and plants, for converting the sun's light into edible foods that we can consume and digest, and for providing oxygen in the air that we breathe. Good morning, water. Thank you for being 75% of our body. We are one, and we bless you and protect you because we cannot live without you. Good morning, Animal Kingdom. Thank you for your companionship, your beauty and splendor, and for your sacrifice of life so that we may eat and live. Thank you, Great Spirit that moves in all things. Thank you for our lives and for the opportunity to be here and to be of service in this sacred earth garden of life. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hello and welcome to Shaman's Keep. This is Caroline Wise King, your host, and I want to thank you for joining me this beautiful day. Come on in and join me around the campfire for some real boogeyman stories and how shamans and their powerful healing spirits remove and deal with these unseen problems that may plague people's lives. It's good versus evil, problems with dark spirits and demons, intrusions, dismemberment, lions and tigers and bears, oh my. So these are aspects of shamanism that we really haven't discussed on this show yet, but they are a very real part of a shaman's work. Up to this time, you've heard my guest and I extol the power of shamanism and the daily miracles that happen with this healing modality. It's amazing what's possible, and we do experience a tremendous sense of joy and oneness that is sheer ecstasy. But, however, this is not some airy-fairy imaginary exercise inspired by a delusional desire to ascend or obtain enlightenment. It is very real, and it is very serious. We are dealing with beings of unimaginable power in the spirit worlds, and there are beings of light and beings of dark. It is not a place you go to sightsee in. We only enter it with a specific purpose to help someone, and as soon as that purpose is fulfilled, we come back to ordinary reality, meaning this physical earth plane that we live on. When we do go into those spirit realms that we call non-ordinary reality, it is still a reality, but it's not this ordinary reality we're used to. But when we go into those realms, we go to either our power animal or our teacher in the upper world. And they take us where we need to go. We never go anywhere in those worlds except in their company. They will protect us, keep us safe, and whisk us away from any potential threat or danger. Now, there are a lot of people who've been working on ascension and enlightenment, and I hear them say there is no right and no wrong, there is no good and no evil. And while this is a lovely concept, I think when you consider the events of the past week in Boston, you might want to reconsider that perspective. Since the most ancient of times, there has been a continual battle between the forces of good and the forces of evil. Our news stories are riddled with it, and it is the basis for most of the stories in books, TV, and movies, and throughout the entire entertainment media. This battle is very much a part of a healing shaman's world. We are often working with people who have spirit attachments, meaning some disincarnate spirit has attached to their body. Most of the time, the spirits are those of their deceased loved ones, and they're harmless. They've stayed here to try and help this person, not realizing that when they attached to them, it added extra energy to that person, but it's energy they can't use. And it's an added weight that they're having to carry around. This added weight can cause fatigue and health problems. Now, we can usually help them to move on into the light. Sometimes the spirits are earthbound and lost. Some don't even know that they're dead, and they're very confused. These we can help to ease their fear and trauma and call for their loved ones who have passed over to come and take them to the light. Sometimes there are spirits of people who have been programmed by their religions to believe that if they've been done bad things, then they're going to burn in hell. And these spirits are terrified and don't want to leave the earth plane. They're so fearful of spending the rest of existence in this burning flames of hell. These we have to work with. We have to comfort and console them and convince them that it is safe for them to move on, that there is only love and forgiveness over there. And there are those who had addictions in their lifetimes to either drugs or to alcohol. And sometimes, even though they may be aware that they have died, they are so focused on getting their next fix that all they can think about is having a body again and attaching to someone so that they can fulfill their hunger for the drug or the drink of their choice. Now, these we have to work with and heal their problem. The issue that they've had, some kind of issue, whether it was child molestation, you know, when they were small, or some terrible thing that has happened to them, and their fear of any further pain has caused them to escape into alcohol or drugs. So we must work with them to release those issues, and then we must cut the cords of attachment that they have formed to those substances. People actually form cords. They look like rubber bands that come out from the heart or the solar plexus, and they go out and they attach to whatever it is. It can be an attachment to people they love or hate, or it can be an attachment to something like drugs and alcohol. So we have to cut those cords that will set them free and allow them to move on. And now we get to the interesting thing that we all hope we don't have to encounter, and that is the occasional demonic entity. This is something we are not equipped to handle in any way, shape, or form. It requires a much higher power to deal with these fierce and dangerous entities. Our power animals and our teachers help us with all the spirit attachments, but only the most powerful of them can remove a demon. It is extremely dangerous for a person without proper training and powerful spiritual help to try to remove this type of entity. Now, I know a lot of you probably don't believe in demons. I didn't for a long time. I didn't really believe they existed until I had to deal with one. Okay, so I can speak from experience that there are such entities, and they are dangerous and difficult to deal with. Which brings me to a troubling thing that seems to be happening. It seems that suddenly there are a lot of people who want to be shamans and claim to be shamans. How do you know if a person is a real shaman? Someone asked Dr. Michael Harner, who founded the Foundation for Shamanic Studies, this question, and he said, ask if they go to other worlds and if they make miracles. That's an interesting concept because that's probably true. They probably are not able to make miracles, and they probably don't go anywhere, okay? But Native Americans and most indigenous people around the world say that a shaman never claims to be a shaman, doesn't brag about it, doesn't go around announcing, I am a shaman, and doesn't make a business out of it. Somehow, when money gets involved and profit motives get involved, it doesn't work well with the spirit world. Okay. So, of course, in tribal societies, everyone knew who the shaman was. Today, with the population explosion that we have all over the world, and many people living in big cities where they only know maybe a few people, nobody knows who the shamans are or how to find them. If you're looking for a shaman, probably the best thing to do is to get a referral from someone you know who recommends a shaman based on their own personal experience and whether they the healing worked and, whether it was a good experience. If you don't know someone who has had an experience with a shaman, I would suggest that you go to SandraIngerman.com and click on her directory of shamanic practitioners, or go to the Foundation for Shamanic Studies and click on their directory. At least with going to somebody that's listed in these directories, you know that they have had training and are hopefully people that know what they're doing, okay? There are a lot of things that we do that we don't talk about much. And of course, you've heard me talk about extraction a little bit. I'll get more on that in a few minutes. When I started looking on the internet, I was amazed at how many websites there are that say that this person is a shaman. And they talk about how they help you realize your true self and reintegrate those parts of yourself that you haven't claimed. And they call this soul retrieval, which they do with meditations and visualizations. And they charge a lot of money for this service. If you go to one of those people, ask them if they go into other worlds. Ask them what spiritual helpers or teachers they're working with. Ask if they're working with a power strong enough to remove a demon. Ask if they are working with spirit healer that is strong enough to remove a life-threatening disease. A shaman is only as effective as the powers he or she is working with. I say this because a really powerful shaman is not channeling a disincarnate spirit here on the earth plane. They are working with highly evolved beings in the other worlds, some of whom are ancient beings who see the big picture of who you are, all your past lives and future lives, and they know exactly what you need at this point of time. So a shaman has to be a hollow reed. We have to be able to clear our minds completely and allow these beings to diagnose and choose the remedy. We have to get our rational minds out of the way, banish all our ideas and opinions about what this person needs and what's wrong with them and how to fix it. We have to bow to the wisdom of higher power. A lot of people seem to think that a shaman's journey is like meditation or a dream. It is not. In meditation, you can just relax and allow your mind to wander, and if you go to sleep while you're meditating, it's not a problem. You do not have that luxury in a shamanic journey. You are leaving your body and going into other worlds. You have to be able to focus and concentrate on your purpose, and you don't dare fall asleep. Why? Because there are entities with agendas that might not be in your best interest. The biggest challenge in doing shamanic work is to be able to focus and concentrate, and understand what you're seeing. And receive, be open to receive the insights and to receive the knowledge and the wisdom that is flooding to you. And you have to pay close attention to what you see and memorize it so that you can tell your client the details when you come back. What may have seemed unimportant to you may be very meaningful to that person. So you need to explain everything you saw, heard, tasted, felt, everything that happened during the journey. And we have to be able to maintain that concentration and focus for however long it takes to accomplish the purpose of the journey, which would be to answer a question for them, or to bring back a soul part, or to remove an entity or a demon. Even when we do extraction work, and that is, extraction is removing intrusions that cause illness. Even when you see us running our hands over the auric field of a person's body and grabbing and pulling out things that we call intrusions, and they're invisible to the human eye, and you see us throwing them to the nearest large body of water, which will neutralize them so they can't enter someone else and make them sick. Even though you see us doing these things, we are not alone, and we are not doing the work. We are only humans and don't have the power to do this. We have a power animal that works with us to do this specialized form of healing. This power animal comes when we sing its power song, and it merges with us to do the extraction. It is very dangerous work, because if you become distracted or lose your focus, even for a few seconds, you can take on the thing that has made your client so sick or caused their life-threatening illness. It is so easy to do. Once, many years ago, I was doing an extraction on a young woman in her home, and her dog was lying about 10 feet away, supposedly sleeping. He was sleeping when I started the journey work. But during the time that I was doing the extraction, and I pulled up something from her abdominal area that looked to me, and with my third eye view of it, like a lethal serpent of some kind, and I'm pulling it up out of her abdominal area, the dog must have been able to see it. And he jumped up and he ran toward me, barking and gnashing his teeth. It shocked me out of my shamanic frame of mind. And I had to turn to the dog and say, "It's okay. I'm not hurting your master. Just go lay down." And I spoke, you know, in the soothing voice. So it turned and it went back to where it had been laying down. But my hands were still in mid-air, supposedly holding this thing. And I went ahead and threw it, but I knew that I may have taken it on and that it was probably in my body now. I silently prayed that this was not the case, and I went on and completed my session with a woman. Later on my drive back, it was a different city I'd gone to do this work. On my drive back home, I felt something moving around in my abdomen, and I thought, "Oh no, now what do I do?" My teacher in the physical world had told me that a shaman needs to go to another shaman for healing work to be done on them. And I didn't know anyone who did extraction work. A lot of shamans who do power animal retrievals and soul retrievals refuse to do extraction work because it is so dangerous. I went home and I cleansed myself. I smudged my body with sage. I showered. I spritzed my body with salt water. And I prayed for this thing to leave me. But it didn't. After a week or so, my stomach was beginning to ache and bloat. And I could feel this thing moving around inside me. Finally, in absolute desperation, I journeyed to my teacher in the upper world and begged him to remove it from me. He is an amazing healer and a compassionate being, and he pulled it right out of me and threw it into the light. Within a few days, the bloating and aching stopped, and there was no more movement in my abdominal region. So I am eternally grateful to my teacher for all his help. I've been blessed that this awesome being has chosen to work with me. And there are many times, even in journeys, to retrieve soul parts for someone, that we can sometimes encounter situations that are life-threatening. And you don't know what you're going to encounter when you start on your journey. So I had done a lot of soul retrievals up to this point, had never experienced anything like this. I had a gentleman come to me who was complaining that he had extreme fatigue, that he could not seem to get any energy back. He said it felt as if his life force energy was just draining out of his body, and that each day he was getting weaker and weaker. So, blissfully unaware of what lay ahead of me, I sang my way down the tunnel to my power animal, explained the situation to her, and we set off to find out what was going on. Now, the first world below the middle world, below this ordinary reality, is very beautiful. It's like this world, but without people and cars and buildings and noise. I've never seen humans there. I've heard from other people that there are some humans there, but I've never seen them. It's a beautiful world, just filled with beautiful nature, trees and waterfalls and deserts and, you know, just a little bit of everything. It's beautiful, and the animals are very loving and compassionate, and it's just an awesome place. So here we go, me and my power animal. I'm riding on her back. And shortly into the journey, I become aware that we are not traveling up to the middle world, and we are not traveling through time to a past life. We are going down through another tunnel, through a cave, and then down through a strange country with weird-looking inhabitants, and on, down, down, down. I don't even know how many levels we went down. But finally, we came to a very dark, dense jungle. There was a small clearing among the trees and a little campfire there, and an old, dark-skinned man wearing nothing but a loincloth sitting by the fire. My para animal took me down there, set me on the ground, and I looked around for some sign of my client, but didn't see anyone else, just this old man. So I walked over to him, and he dipped a cup into the pot steaming on the fire and stood up and offered it to me to drink from. I looked back at my power animal, and she didn't make any attempt to stop him or to stop me, so I drank a little of what he was offering. Suddenly, a spasm shook my body, and I fell to the ground. I was completely paralyzed. I couldn't move a muscle, could not speak. My mind was whirling. What is happening? Why is this happening? Why isn't my power animal doing something to help me? Then I became aware of this huge serpent. I mean, gigantic. It's like if you've ever seen pictures of the gigantic dinosaurs that lived in Australia long, 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 long ago. If you could imagine a giant serpent like that. This serpent was slowly coming out of the jungle toward me, and I could do nothing. I couldn't even scream. I was totally paralyzed and helpless. Well, this big serpent approached me, and it opened its mouth, and it took my head in and began the process of swallowing me. I was frantic, but still totally paralyzed and helpless. Now I'm in this dark, wet tunnel being moved down to its stomach. And then suddenly the feeling started coming back into my body, and I was able to move. And I began to claw and kick and try to turn myself around so that I could maybe scramble back up the tunnel and get out. I was terrified and angry. I was not going to die there. This is what I vowed. I will not die here. I have a family to get back to. I will not die here. I have to get out of this thing. And so I punched and kicked and clawed, and all of a sudden the serpent regurgitated. With a great heave, he threw me up, and I landed on the ground all wet and nasty and wondering what the heck this was all about. Then a strange thing happened. The serpent heaved again, and out came the gentleman that I was journeying for. I grabbed him and leaped on the back of my power animal, and we were out of there in a flash, making a mad dash back up through the strange worlds and the cave and the tunnel. And we took him to my sacred healing circle and healed his trauma and cleared everything, any memories and all, and brought him back to ordinary reality, where I blew him back into his heart and into the crown of his head. Well, when the session ended and he was gone and I was alone, I had a lot of questions about this whole scenario. So I journeyed to my teacher in the upper world and began asking for clarity on what this was all about. Why had this ancient Leviathan come up all the way from the depths of the lowest worlds into our ordinary reality and swallowed this man's soul? My teacher said it came because it likes a particular flavor. I stared at him in disbelief. Flavor? What are you talking about? What kind of flavor? He said the flavor of fear. Well, I knew that my client was an extremely fearful person, but really, could his fear have produced some kind of aroma that wafted down to the lower worlds and attracted this serpent to come to him? My teacher said, yes, this serpent is ancient, has been around since the beginning of time, and it feeds on fear. I was shocked. I had no idea that there could be predatory beings like this. I asked if it would come back after my gentleman again, and my teacher said yes, unless he can conquer his fears. He will still be at risk. So I called him up and made another appointment with him and explained as much as I could about the danger of being so fearful. And I worked with him to work through the issues and things that had caused him to have this overwhelming sense of fear about life and everything in it. And we were able to alleviate and reconcile that. So he never had any further instances of some entity coming to feed on his fear. Now, this story is a prime example, and the reason why I want people to understand that doing shamanic healing is very serious work, not for the faint of heart, and not for someone who thinks it's just like meditation and affirmations and all rosy lights and sweetness. As you can see, there can be many other things affecting a person's health and their sense of well-being. And these are things that will not show up in an X-ray or on an MRI. That is why it's so important that medical doctors and shamans work together to bring about a healing of body, mind, and spirit. I can't wait for the day when a medical facility houses both healers of the physical body, medical doctors, and healers of the spiritual body, shaman. But of course, our society has to get past the greed motive of profit-driven corporate hospitals and pharmaceutical companies. It can't be about money. It has to be about healing and what is best for the client or the patient. And people need to remember that they are spirit beings having a physical experience, which brings me to another aspect of shamanism that we haven't discussed, and that is something called dismemberment. You may have heard that word before and not understood what it means. Sometimes our teacher or our power animal will dismember us and remember us, leaving out the diseases or problems. You're probably wondering still what I'm talking about, so let me explain. I'll give you an example of what I have experienced myself by having a dismemberment. The first time I had a dismemberment, my power animal did it. And, hold on. I think we have a caller calling in, and they probably have some questions. Hello?
Hello. Is Ron there?
I'm sorry. Who are you calling? Huh? No, wrong number, I guess. Okay. Well, let me get back to telling you another story. And these are, you know, I share a lot of my personal experiences because those are the ones I really know about. So let me get back with the dismemberment thing. The first time it happened to me, my power animal in the lower world did it. One of my power animals, I went down on some, I had some questions I wanted to ask about something. And suddenly my eagle, my beautiful eagle, flew down and grabbed me in its arm, in its, with its talons, and carried me up, 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 up to the edge of a cliff and a really scraggly pine tree that was kind of bending out over what looked like the Grand Canyon. And there were baby eagles in the nest there. And it plopped me down in the nest and began ripping off parts of my body and feeding it to these young eagles. And then the eagle's spouse came in, and both of them are just ripping pieces of me off and feeding it to the babies. And the interesting thing about in the spirit world, you don't feel, you know, you don't feel like we feel physically here. So I didn't feel anything, and I'm watching with some discomfort as they're, you know, just tearing my body apart. And this went on for a while because they finally had stripped me down to nothing but a skeleton. So I'm thinking, wow, now what? Well, he took the skeleton then in his talons and he flew out over this vast expanse of emptiness. About 2,000 feet below me is the surface of the earth again, and he dropped me, so the skeleton part, that's all that's left. He dropped my skeleton onto the rocks far below, and from such a great height, of course, when my skeleton hit the rocks, it shattered into a million pieces. And then I saw these little animals come scurrying out from among the rocks, and they're gathering parts of me, my bones and everything, and carrying them back into their whatever their dens or their underground tunnels or whatever. And finally, there was very little left of me. And then this big wind came along and blew any last remains away. Suddenly, there was just nothing there. But the curious thing about all of this is that when there was still nothing there, I was still alive. I had no body anymore, but I was still me. I was still alive, but I was invisible. So I at this point, I'm saying to my power animal, well, what do we do now? Well, he flew me back down to the ground near the entrance of the tunnel I had come down. And he flapped his wings and the sand began to swirl and spin around me. And as it did, I watched as my body began to form again. And he put me all back together, only this time I was put back together all new. It was a very enlightening experience when I realized that I am not my body. I think probably everyone should have this experience so that they understand that we are not our bodies. The body can die, the body can disappear, but we are still alive, and we will continue on our life journey somehow. So later, I began to feel so, you know, when I'd come back from the journey and over the next few days, I began to feel so much better physically, because what the ego had done is removed any health problems and anything that was was a detriment in my body. And I was stronger and healthier than ever. You see, he had remembered my body in its purest state. I've had several, dismemberments over the years, and it is the ultimate healing experience. Rarely, but once in a while, my teacher will do a dismemberment on someone that we're working with during a healing journey, and it's amazing how it affects their lives. Dismemberment was actually an ancient, has been practiced since ancient times, and you know shamanism dates back over 40,000 years. And so it's been practiced all this time, and in earlier times, it was considered an initiation process that confirmed that this person is a shaman, and he can now be given more wisdom and more healing gifts or tools. Sometimes the spirit will gift us with a special tool to help us with our healing work, or a power song, or a healing song for someone we are working with. And these songs are extremely powerful. It's extraordinary what happens when working with a healing song. Even myself, I was at a workshop one time, taking one of the advanced classes in shamanism, and it was raining nonstop, and I was rooming with a couple of people with colds, so it wasn't long before I had a cold, and my chest became congested, and I was feeling really sick. And when someone did a journey for me, they brought back a healing song. This healing song was amazing. Now, the healing songs are very simple. They're usually only a few lines, and you sing them over and over and over like it's a chant, and they work miracles in your body. The way this song that he brought me was set up, when I hit certain notes and certain sounds, I could feel a vibration in my lungs, and it actually began to clear out the congestion there, and I could breathe better and everything. So the healing songs are just incredibly powerful. If you haven't ever worked with these kind of things and you are on the shamanic path, go and ask for a healing song. And it's just like when we do the extraction work. One of the things we did in the workshop that I took with Sandra Ingerman, where I learned how to do extractions, one of the things we asked for was a power song. And it was so interesting, because there was quite a large group of people, and she told us to be thinking about the power animal that would be working with us, and none of my power animals showed up. And then this song came into me about this eagle that was soaring, and that it was power that was soaring. And I thought, well, that's cool. You know, that's a nice song. I don't have an eagle as a power animal. Well, very soon after that, as we're drumming and in my head, in my mind, I was singing this song about the eagle. All of a sudden, this eagle appeared in over me, above me, and it literally lowered itself down into my body. I have never felt such a surge of power in my life. And it made me aware that for doing extraction work, that it was going to be the one that would be working with me on that. So, of course, if I'm doing extraction work, I always sing my eagle's power song that calls him in, and he is just an amazing healer. So I'm very blessed for that. But I urge you, even if you're not into shamanism, even if you're just meditating or whatever, ask for a healing song for yourself or a power song for yourself and just allow it to come. Don't try to think of what it would be or how it's going to sound. And it doesn't matter if you can sing or not. It's not about you singing. It's about the vibrations of the words in that song, the sound vibrations of those words that actually does the healing. So whether you can sing or not, you just do it. Go through the action of actually sounding those words and those sounds. And it's just amazing how effective it is in healing. I also worked with a gentleman once who was having problems with some tumors growing in some external areas that were extremely sensitive. And I was given a healing song for him. And he went home, and a few days later he called me and he said, "Wow, this song is amazing. They're beginning to shrink." You know, I'm like, well, that's good. That's the way it's supposed to work. So there's so much, so many ways of healing, so many ways of doing things. I want to talk to you also about Michael Harner. He has his new book out. And, you know, he wrote The Way of the Shaman, which actually was the trailblazing book of 1980 that started people waking up about shamanism, brought it to the forefront so that people became aware of it again. And of course, when he had first started his studies of shamanism, there were only a handful of actual indigenous shaman left in the world, like five or six of them left. And because, you know, it's been stamped out by missionaries and governments and everything that, you know, was afraid for people to have power. But it is a form of personal power that can help many people. Anyway, Michael has his new book out. It just came out last week. It's called Cave and Cosmos. Cave, C-A-V-E, and Cosmos. And it's the sequel to that book he wrote back in 1980. It's been a long time coming, but I'm so glad that he wrote it. And he shares many experiences of different people that have taken workshops and what happened with them, what they saw and felt, and how it affected them. And so many times, you know, just doing a journey for someone, we learn something new, or it opens up our awareness to something else. And so it's everything is a healing that happens when we do the journeys. So if you get a chance, go to Amazon.com or any bookstore and get Michael's book. I got it on Kindle as soon as it came out and read it from start to finish, couldn't put it down. I had to read the whole thing. And I just want to thank you, Michael, for putting out this great book again. And, you know, we love you, and you changed my life completely. When I took the first basic course, shamanism course, it changed my life. And so we're very thankful for all the work that he has done. Now, I also want to talk to you a little bit about helping me with this show. I'm sure you understand that there's a lot of expense involved in doing a radio show. And you can go to my website, www.shamanskeep.com, and click on the donate button. And I would really appreciate any help you can give us to keep this show going. I have up to this point pretty much funded it myself, and I really need some help with it, okay? I think that it's reaching a lot of people. My numbers are going up every month in listenership, and so I know that it is reaching a lot of people, and I hear from people with things that they heard on this show or that show and what it meant to them and all, and I'm so glad for that. You know, you can always reach me at caroline@shamanskeep.com. That's my email, caroline@shamanskeep.com. So send me an email if you have questions about anything or want an appointment. I don't advertise generally. I work and have for all these years basically on referral business only, and I work on donations. There's not a price put on any of this because this is spiritual healing. So if you have something going on in your life or you just want to talk or have a question, email me at caroline@shamanskeep.com and we'll see if we can help you, okay? And also go to my website, and there's a lot of interesting things. I talk about a lot of different aspects of shamanism on there. And so you can read some of my blogs and also donate and basically get an idea of how you can help to change the world, because every one of us can be the hope of the world. You know, people tend to think that because we're just one person that there's not much we can do in light of the massive problems that the earth is experiencing right now with the pollution of all the waters of the earth and the dying of the honeybees, because with no honeybees, there will be no crops. And, you know, there's huge problems in the world now. And people tend to think that, well, I can't do anything. I'm just one person. Not true. Every one of us can help somehow. Plant a tree. Do not buy products from companies that are destroying the earth. Do, you know, even if it's small things in your community, in your neighborhood, do something positive toward helping the earth, because each one of us can be the hope of the world. And maybe that's what your journey here is. Maybe that's what your life is really about, is helping nature survive, helping the earth survive, helping humans to survive, because most people don't realize that we are on the endangered list. If we don't have water to drink and we don't have food to eat, then we don't have a life, okay? So it really is up to us to use a little bit of our time and energy to protect the resources of Earth that are really our support system, that give us the oxygen in the air we breathe. That's the plant kingdom. That's where most of our oxygen comes from. The oceans, the algae in the oceans, that's the other source of most of our oxygen. So we do what we can to protect those resources. We can't live without water or air. So, I mean, this is not frivolous. This is very important that we do something about it. So I see that I'm running out of time here, and I want to thank you all for joining me today. And, of course, next week I have Wabun Nguyen joining me for the show. She co-authored several of Sun Bear's books with him. And she has a new book coming out soon that we'll be talking about, that kind of, I believe, blends allopathic medicine with spiritual healing somehow. So I'm looking forward to hearing her talk about it. So join us next week. And until then, may the sun kiss your face, may the waters bless your body, and may all nature sing in your presence.